Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday. Guess what? It is the first day of December in the year of our Lord 2017. 24 days away from Christmas. So, we pray that you'll have a blessed Christmas season, as you might have had a wonderful Thanksgiving season. What we're planning on doing today is taking any calls. All you need to do is phone in the St. Louis area, 821-0850, or toll free anywhere in North America, including St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. During the last 2 days, we've been talking about C.F.W. Walther's distinctions between law and gospel. I get a lot of my material from these distinctions between law and gospel. And it's been, I don't think we've done much of the various principles that he sets down for almost a year. And so Wes Reimnitz suggested, let's take a look at some of them. On Wednesday, we took a look at what are wrong understandings of law and gospel. Like, the law is the Old Testament, the gospel is the New Testament. That's a wrong understanding. And then we took a look at a bunch of ways in which they do differ properly. For example, if you want to be saved by the law, that's conditional. There's always an if in front of the law. If you do these things, then you will be perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect. One of the things that came to my mind as I was re-looking at these various principles is how important it is to understand that there are two doctrines in the Bible, law and gospel. And you cannot get them confused. The law is not a means of becoming saved, which it is in every other religion in the world. I challenge you to find another religion where what you do, think, or say makes a difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell, if they have one. In other words, works are really the basis of salvation. But in Christianity, the law is not given to show what you are to do in order to be saved. The primary use of the law, we call it the second use of the law, accusation, is to be given in order to show that you cannot be saved by any works you do. Isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul says that every mouth may be stopped. What does that mean? Well, so you don't become like the Pharisee, thanking God that, look at me, I am really good. I fast, I tithe, I'm certainly happy I'm not like that sinful tax collector over there. No, when Jesus spoke the law to the Pharisees, they couldn't take it, so they crucified him. It's very important to understand that distinction between law and gospel. The law is always conditional. It's conditioned upon something that you're doing in order to be saved. The gospel is unconditional. It's a free gift. Can you imagine on Christmas Day, you run downstairs and there's no presents under the tree. And so you ask your mother and father, where are the presents? And they say, oh, we've got them. But before you get them, you need to wash the car, cut the lawn, do the dishes, take out the garbage. And they've got a whole list of chores you're to do on Christmas morning before you get your presents. That never happens in a true Christmas home. The gifts are given, not because you've earned them, not because you merited them, but simply because you have a relationship in that family. Your children, their parents. And I just haven't been able to understand why people don't recognize that God is a far better parent than we are. And therefore, the gifts he gives us are not earned by us, not merited by us. Now, in his lectures, C.F.W. Walther had 25 distinctions about law and gospel. The first four really were telling about law and gospel, what they are, what they are not. But the last 21, these distinctions, talk about how pastors misuse law and gospel. In other words, they confuse the two. For example, yesterday with Wes Reimnitz, we looked at Thesis 7, where the word of God is not rightly divided when the gospel is preached first and then the law. Sanctification first and then justification. Faith first and then repentance. Good works first and then grace. Now, let's just take that last one. People don't think that God's grace will come to them unless they're good enough, unless they deserve it. See, that's what the problem with the unbelieving Pharisees and scribes were. Here Jesus is visiting and talking with tax collectors, prostitutes, well-known sinners from the point of view of Judaism. And they could not understand this. Why is he so gracious to these people? They don't deserve it. And that's where Christianity is totally different than every other religion. In fact, the purpose of the law is to get you to understand that you don't deserve the good news of the gospel, that your sins are forgiven, that you are dressed in the robe of Christ's righteousness, which is, by the way, the reason you're going to heaven. And theology, I've said for years here on KFUO, is really the distinction between various items. Theology makes proper distinctions. And one of them is justification and sanctification. At times it appears, particularly among Lutherans, that they're so fixated on justification that it's hard for them to talk about the necessity to do good works. Because as soon as they hear the word necessity, or it is necessary to do good works, they jump to the conclusion that you're a legalist. That what you mean by that, it is necessary to do good works in order to be saved. Now, see, that's justification. And just like an adopted baby gets adopted without any works on the part of the infant, so also you were brought into the Holy Christian Church without any works necessary. You neither contributed to your salvation or you cooperated in your salvation, because what was necessary is a new heart, a new attitude, faith in God, the true God, which you did not have prior to your conversion. So why can we say, therefore, that good works are necessary? They're not necessary for justification, but they are necessary for sanctification. But sanctification doesn't save you. Justification saves you. Well, let me give an analogy so you'll understand this. When potential parents want to adopt a child, the good works of the child are not necessary at all. In fact, a recent adoption in which I'm familiar with, they hadn't even seen the child or visited the child. They saw pictures, but they had no idea because the child was coming from Russia. So good works were not necessary on the part of the child for that adoption to take place. But guess what? Once the child was adopted, became part of the family, then we can say that good works are necessary. For example, one good work is to be on time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner so that you can have a good meal. Another good work necessary is that you go to bed at a certain time so you're wide awake in the morning for school. There's all kinds of good works that become necessary when you become a member of the family, but none of them makes you a member of the family. You're already a member of the family. So it is very important to understand this, that sermons do need to talk about how the Christian life ought to be different than the unbeliever's life. Because we not only desire to do good works, but we also have the Holy Spirit through faith, which gives us the proper motivation. It's not the second use of the law, which is accusation, to show you're a sinner in preparation for justification. This is instead called the third use of the law that God has, where he simply informs you of his will. I tell you, that's what we've really lost in this society. I enjoy watching true detective stories where a husband and wife are married and one cheats on the other and the next thing you have is a murder. Why does that happen? Because they have no longer a desire to follow the will of God in their marriage. Yeah, KFUO had a recent program where the pastor was talking about that he's running into people who are having trouble making a vow that they will stay married regardless of sickness or health or whatever. They said, I'm not sure I can make that promise. But see, this spouse that you're about to marry is what God has provided for you. And therefore, it is important to do what God wants you to do. They also made a really important point that I had never really thought about on that program, and I think it's really pretty good. They were talking about that a lot of people are trying to find their purpose in life. Now, if you're like that, that means you're not living your purpose from your point of view. But the fact of the matter is the Bible really doesn't talk about finding your purpose. Instead, it talks about finding your duty in whatever vocation you are now in. So, when I was a student, my duty was to study and try and do as best as I could on the various exams. As a husband, my duty is to love my wife and seek after no other. As a father, my duty is to raise the children as best I can in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And for me, as a husband and a father and a pastor, and I say, boy, I sure wish I could find my purpose in life. No, my purpose is what my vocation is. It is not that you cannot attempt to do something else. There's no problem with that. Maybe you have a question about this. This is Open Mic Friday. You can call me, St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. For example, not long ago, I had a couple come to me and the husband had a job offer, but it was in another state. They would have had to move, leave the congregation they were at, and the school they enjoyed. And he asked me, what should I do? Well, I'm a pastor. I'm not a clairvoyant. I can't tell the future. I said, you talk it over with your wife, and then whichever way it appears that God is leading, you go ahead and do it. As long as it isn't causing sin, God's going to keep all his promises to you. He's going to continue to bless you. So it doesn't really matter what decisions you make. Sometimes there are decisions that end up, say, costing you a lot of money. I had a car that we, for example, traded in for another car, and it was really pretty inexpensive because it had a lot of miles on it, which led to a transmission problem. Well, we weren't expecting that. And a lot of these used car salespeople, when they sell you a car, they don't give you any maintenance or contract or agreement to fix anything. You get it as is. And I believe them that they didn't find anything wrong. It was about 2 months after we owned it that the transmission problem occurred. And you can well imagine transmission problems to fix are not cheap. But that's what God wanted. And so we put all things in his hands, refinagled money situation so that we could afford it. And we're now looking forward to see how God's going to continue to take care of us. Well, we're not concerned about it because we've had decades in which God always worked out things, even though when we first heard of them, they were terrible. So when C.F.W. Walther talks about how pastors are not properly distinguishing between law and gospel, we gave you an example yesterday where a woman who listens to law and gospel came to really understand it and faced her pastor and said, how come your sermons are so filled with law? I don't feel comforted when I leave the church. And he looked at her and said, you're not supposed to feel comforted. Well, as soon as I heard that, I thought about Jesus when he went to worship services. Remember, he would come out of a worship service and say, boy, I didn't get any comfort from that. No. He should have not gotten comfort, because many of the passages portrayed the Messiah being crucified. And yet he was still comforted, and for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame and went the way of the cross for you. So if Jesus is comforted after hearing those Bible verses of his impending death, how can you not be comforted knowing that his death and resurrection means an eternal life in heaven? So, when somebody says you're not to be comforted when you leave the church, I can understand why he might say that, because you need to be realizing you're still a sinner, and that should make you uncomfortable. But I think that the gospel needs to predominate in a Christian mind. That means that you are comforted knowing that as terrible a sinner that you are, Jesus has died for your sins. Now, there are many ways in which individuals are mistold law and gospel. I was looking at Thesis 12, where CFW says, the word of God is not rightly divided when the preacher represents contrition alongside of faith as a cause of the forgiveness of sins. We need to understand contrition is part of repentance. And just to be contrite over what you did is never sufficient. The contrition must also include faith in Jesus Christ. And apart from that faith, we don't see proper contrition. I'm Tom Baker. If you'd like to call, don't hesitate to do so. Our numbers are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go to the phone lines, I think, in a moment here. And we're going to be speaking to Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a check that was returned to me because they told me to send the check for the Concordia Mission Society to some other address. It was like to see to Concordia Mission Society to 10,000 Keith Inch Court.
Yeah, that's correct. What you do is the check can be made out to Concordia Mission Society, but what you just mentioned is where I live. And so make the envelope out to Pastor Tom Baker.
Well, and see, I had Pastor Tom Baker on the check also. So what do I do with it now?
It just should only be made out to Concordia Mission Society and addressed to Tom Baker at that 10,000 Keith Inch Court, and I'll get it.
Okay.
Okay, doke.
And the other comment that I have is thank you for clarifying the Book of Esther, because, you know, that was always bothering me, and I know it did many people. When God was never mentioned. But thank you, and what a beautiful explanation you gave, even though your voice was still...
Oh, yeah, my voice had gone down again for the year, but it's pretty well getting back now.
It sure is.
Well, thank you very much, Marilyn.
And enjoy this beautiful sunshine.
Okay, God bless.
God bless.
Okay. What Marilyn is talking about, that Esther was not part of Law and Gospel on KFUO. I also have a program with Issues, Etc., where we look at the Sunday school lessons for Concordia Publishing House that teachers do each week. And that's where the Esther item was. But she said something that I had just mentioned a few broadcasts ago. What I consider to be a successful pastor. If you heard her, she said, thank you for clarifying. You see, that's really the goal of every pastor, to make clear what a Bible passage is saying. Because I am absolutely convinced, particularly when the laity read the Bible, they do so with their old Adam rather than with their new man. And that's because they don't know the original Hebrew or the original Greek, and that has tremendous insights. I tell you, we're going to be starting with the Gospel of Mark. And in my opinion, one of the best commentators that put out a commentary on Mark is Dr. James Veltz. You can hardly read a page without finding a sermon or two in it, because he has insights that are not obvious just when you read the English. And so we'll be taking a look at that probably this coming Monday, because we're once more in the season of Advent, and we're going to be examining the readings for Advent. And this is Series B. There's three series of readings, A, B, and C. A is Matthew, B is Mark, which we're into now, and C is Luke. Now, Pastor Veltz, he only did through chapter 8, and he's working on the second part of Mark. I'm hoping that it's coming out by January when we'll be getting into those things, but that's something we're going to have to look at. As Marilyn said, if you want to support Law and Gospel, then the check should be written out for IRS purposes to Concordia Mission Society and mailed to me, Tom Baker. And you can do it at the post office address also, which you are about to hear right now. I'm just saying, if you want IRS deduction, make it out to Concordia Mission Society rather than to Law and Gospel. Till Monday then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.